There, the issue is how to pay for road improvements, as the gasoline tax no longer provides enough revenue to meet construction needs. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
The last trading day of the year, European markets are trading only slightly higher this morning. U.S. futures contracts are trading near the flat line. This is NPR News.
WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his regular weekly analysis of Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir. Supporters of Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry have gone to court to try to get on Virginia's primary election ballot next March. Only Romney and Paul qualified under Virginia's rather strict ballot requirements. And now the Perry and Gingrich supporters have gone to court to overturn those requirements, contending they're too restrictive. But didn't they know going into the game what the rules were?
Suspect they did. And, of course, you know, this is a preferred tactic. If you can't do it yourself, get the judge to do it for you. Certainly, this is what the Democrats are trying to do, the state Democrats are trying to do with the evenly tied Virginia Senate. But there are a number of questions raised by all of this, one of which you've touched on, and that is, are these ballot qualifications too steep? But is it fair to change the rules at this point to accommodate those who didn't follow them? But there's a political component to this, clearly, and it involves a number of political personalities here in the state. I suspect this is the first clash, a proxy battle of sorts between Bill Bowling and Ken Cuccinelli. Bowling, of course, is a Romney guy, and by helping the former Massachusetts governor get on the Virginia ballot, Bowling is showing a measure of organizational acumen. Now, Cuccinelli, who is neutral, but it says all sorts of friendly things about Rick Santorum, says that the ballot requirements are indeed a bit too rigorous. But, of course, as Attorney General, he's responsible for defending the status quo, and the federal judge who's hearing the Perry case has asked for a memo from the Attorney General's office indicating whether the Attorney General has or hasn't a conflict of interest here. And then there's Bob McDonald, you know, the vice presidential candidate. He is leaving open the possibility that he'd support some easing of these restrictions. But, of course, the governor doesn't want to take sides lest he offend a potential benefactor, the individual who might select him as a running mate. And then, of course, there is just a practical question here, and that is, can all of this be done in time when the law says that the ballot's got to be secured now in 10 days?
In connection with that, the state GOP asked the State Board of Elections to impose a loyalty oath on voters in the Republican primary. Is this aimed partly at a possible Ron Paul independent candidacy?
Well, apparently, but of course, Paul is on the ballot, and Virginia has what's called a sore loser law, and that is intended to kind of tamp down these possible independent candidacies. But loyalty oaths have been a sticky issue for both parties for a very long time, largely because, of course, this is a state in which anyone can vote in a primary. That includes the independents, who are always deciding elections in this state. Now, these loyalty oaths were a problem for the Democrats during the Byrd era, when conservatives were Democrats for purposes of choosing state officials and Republicans for purposes of electing a president. And this goes back, oh gosh, to the 20s, when Al Smith, the Democratic nominee for president, was rejected by this state for Herbert Hoover. There was a provision in Virginia law that would have closed the Democratic primary the following year, 1925, to those who voted for a Republican for president. But even back then, there was some clever lawyering going on. The Attorney General came up with a loophole that allowed all those Virginia Democrats to vote in the Virginia Democratic primary. And, of course, that was important to Harry Byrd that year since he was standing for governor.
We have just 2 minutes to go. Governor McDonnell, as expected, signed those new restrictive abortion clinic regulations.
And the abortion rights groups and some medical authorities say these regulations, which would impose hospital-like standards on the 20-plus clinics in this state, are really only intended to do one thing, and that's to shut them down. Of course, a lot of this had been blocked at the committee level by Democrats on the Senate side of the Capitol. There was an end run this past year led by Ryan McDougal, soon to be number two Republican in the state Senate. He got them to the floor. But don't forget, they were passed with Democratic votes. Philip Puckett from Russell County and Chuck Colgan, both abortion opponents, broke with their caucus to get those rules, or at least legislation requiring those rules, to Bob McDonnell.
Okay, about 40 seconds left. I want to ask you about former Governor Jim Gilmore, whose name was back in the news this week. What's he up to?
Virginia's anti-tax governor is making a play for a big rewrite of the federal tax code, and he's also drawing the line with John McCain over the use of U.S. troops to detain terror suspects, domestic terror suspects. A lot of this, I think, has to do with fundraising. Gilmore is now the president of a pressure group and think tank called the Free Congress Foundation.
All right, time's just about gone for this time and for this year for our weekly get-together. Jeff, we want to thank you again for always being with us on Friday mornings on Morning Edition here at WCVE Public Radio to analyze the Virginia political news. Have a great New Year's Eve and New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's 8:40.